Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is, and Steve is with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hello, crew. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. I just got a little, can I say this? I just got a little cheat sheet from Dr. Townsend. Basically, the size of this card, like, this is amazing. It's how to have a difficult conversation. Where can people get these? This is good.
Go to drtownsend.com. You can download the card. It's free.
Wow.
And you get all the principles on how to have that tough talk and what to do and how to prepare and all that good stuff. Steve, we'll get one to you because you're remote. But, yeah, it's just online. And I brought some of the cardboard cards because everybody's going, how do I approach this horrible relationship? Well, we've got 8 steps to help you.
Nice.
Well, it is...
It's a nice cheat sheet.
So good to have a little
keep it in my purse.
Card to look at there before you have that conversation. It's also good to be emotionally free before you have that conversation. And we are doing the Emotional Freedom Workshop, and I sure hope that you would join us. If you're dealing with, you know, depression or fear, anxiety, some shame, we're going to help you get free of that. We've done this so many times, and it has been so helpful. Please look at what we're going to be doing online there at newlife.com. I also want to mention that a gift of any amount I'm going to send you, either you can pick Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. That's Connie Clark. Dr. Clark wrote that with me. And then Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. And that's Stacy Sadler wrote that. John and I were together, and Madeline, I was her primary parent. John was hanging out with his boys, and we did some fun things back in those old days, and it's so important. You know, some people are single parents even though they're married, and then, like me, I was kind of thrust into it, and I'm telling you, it was an amazing challenge, but with people like you and others, it can be done, and I think that's one of the first messages I heard from you and Henry back then. You can do this.
And look at the fruit, Steve. I mean, you stuck with it. You handled Madeline like the woman she is now, and way to go, because it can be done with the right support, the right community, the right, you know, insides.
Yeah. Well, she's amazing. And, you know, at her wedding, the 4 brothers and sisters that we all blended together, they were there to be sure people had a good time at her wedding. It was just so much fun. Anyway, if you are not emotionally free and you need some help, we can help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's it. Just call. We'll take it from there. But let's go right into our calls here, because I want to talk with a lot of folks today. Becca, calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Sirius XM is where she listens. Hi, Becca.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my phone call today.
Sure. How can we help?
Yeah, so what I'm calling about, I have a question whether or not it would be worth confronting the leadership at my church, or if I would be better off just letting sleeping dogs lie. So a little bit of history. It's kind of a sorry situation. Personally, I was bullied pretty severely during my teen years, and then I stopped attending when I graduated high school. And then later on, my younger brother was very brutally hazed on 2 separate occasions by the youth. My brother was also sexually harassed by an older female member at that church. And he has understandably walked away from this church and is very hostile towards Christians and anything church-related or Bible-related at all.
You hold on. I've got to go to this break. You can hear the music there. So hold on. I think we're off to a tough start with you here. I really hope we can help you. Yeah. All right. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artemer here. We are talking already on the phone with Becca, and rough go here with the church, wanting to know whether or not to communicate with the leadership about the problems or just move on. John, we were talking about it at the break. Go ahead and lead off here.
Sure. Becca, really sorry about that, because the church should be the safest place in the universe for our brokenness and our hurts and our growth. So I'm really sorry about that. The team was talking about this over the break, and our first question is, why would you not? Most of the time, unless somebody's like, you've tried 14 times, and they're mean, and they're a cult, and they're going to come, you know, to your house and, you know, do mean things. Unless, I mean, why not just say, in some kind of, like, respectful way, I've got a concern here, and let's talk about it, because good-hearted Christian people can have that kind of conversation. What would be your hesitation, I suppose?
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so all of this has happened over 8 years ago and even kind of further into the past. At the time that it happened, my father had one conversation with the youth pastor, and my brother, you know, was a child at the time. He was very ashamed of everything happening. He didn't want my dad or my parents to do anything else regarding all of this stuff. And then my father just decided that my brother and I needed to learn how to speak up and defend ourselves, so he wouldn't get involved with trying to protect us from the youth or speaking with the leadership there. Eventually, my parents
might
got
not have
divorced.
Been a good move.
It's been a crazy few years.
So your hesitation is the passage of time, Becca?
Of this, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
By the way, I didn't remember all the details, but was the bad behavior sexual?
My brother was kind of sexually harassed by one older female member, but the hazing was done by his male peers.
Sexually harassed.
And were you guys at school on the church campus, or was this in the youth group that you were bullied and he was hazed?
This was in the youth group.
My goodness, girl.
Yeah, this was in a youth group. Yeah.
Well, we...
Yep.
Is that youth pastor still there?
The youth pastor is now the current head pastor.
Oh.
Well, this may be an issue. It gets really painful and messy and legal, but it may be an issue you need to talk to a therapist and see if there's a mandated reporting issue, because there aren't real statutes of limitation on that really bad behavior. Right. So that's number one, is get to see somebody in your area, talk to them ASAP and say, is there something here? Okay?
Okay.
That's first thing.
Okay, that's first thing. All right. The other thing is, you know, we all think that basically injury doesn't have a time capsule on it. I mean, if they're doing some bad stuff, all my pastor friends would say, well, certainly if it happened a long time ago, don't say, well, let sleeping dogs lie. That's silly. They would say, we want to know, even if it was a long time ago, so we want to have the godliest, healthiest, emotionally healthy, great church possible. And so you owe them that favor, and it would do you good, too, to be able to say, I've taken it to people, because it's not about you anymore. Hopefully you're getting the health you need and the counseling and all that good healing you need. But what about future people? If this is going on systematically in the system, you're protecting future. So I see zero reason for you to avoid that.
Well, and here's another thing. It's about dots. You want to give them a dot. They may do nothing about your letter, but it's a dot. And if somebody else writes a letter, now we got two dots, and then we got three, and it's part of a bigger picture. So that's why I always encourage people to write that letter, document it, because you never know what also has come in or is going to come in the future. All right. I'm really glad that you called, and I will send you a copy. We'll find one around here.
Toxic faith. That's exactly what I'm
saying. It's going to help you see. I wrote about that church long, long time ago. All right, let's go to Susan, Charlotte, North Carolina. Listens on Sirius XM, channel 131. Hi, Susan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you today?
Doing all right. I'm always good. We've got John Sherry in here. I know that we're going to have plenty of competency on the program. How could that competency impact you today? What could we help you with?
Well, I got married 12 years ago. Before we married, his family didn't want us to marry different. He's Spanish and I'm not. They said a lot of ugly things, but there was a morsel of truth within some of their ugliness, which was, well, good, he lies all the time anyways. Now you get to deal with that, was the gist of their interaction.
Wait a minute, this is his family or your family?
His family.
His family said that they didn't want you to marry him because he lies a lot?
Oh, they didn't want me to marry him because I'm not Spanish.
Well, wait a minute, yes. I got to get this straight. Who said that he lies a lot? What persons?
His sister, one of them that was being very ugly towards me.
Okay, so she's trying to disqualify the whole thing. She's coming up with, A, you're white, we don't want you, and B, he's a liar. So she's just trying to make it not happen. Is that right?
I think what she's saying was that they were mean to her, and then when he persisted in the marriage or moving forward, they said, well, he's a big liar. You take him. You can deal with him. We don't have to. Is that right?
Is that
the way it happened? Okay.
Got you.
Exactly.
And so he lies to you. Yeah. All right.
All the time. Big stuff, little stuff, and it's not supposed to matter. It's not supposed to matter. I'm not supposed to. And I had told him the day that we met when I thought, oh my, this might be a God thing. We spoke for 4 hours, just face to face. And I told him the very first thing you need to know about me, do not lie. Do not lie to me. I can't get past it once it's there. It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
And wait, Susan. Why are you laughing? I'm hurt.
Because I'm so hurt. That's scared, hurt, angry. That's my protection.
Yeah,
is humor.
I'm proud of you that you can observe that, because I'm over here feeling gutted. Mm. I mean, I wrote a book about deception. Yes. And I feel so gutted for you. And so I appreciate that you have that self-knowledge to know that it hurts so bad that you laugh. But underneath that, if the tears were attached to your laughter, you'd be bawling right now. You've lived.
I very much so would be.
Yeah. So you had this conversation about lying prior to marrying him.
Yes.
Right. So what prompted you?
Yes, and he said that he, because I told him everything about me, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, etc. So there's so many relationships that you get into where you don't realize who your partner is. And I had been alone for 10 years, and I had decided if this is the one, I'm going to be absolutely clear on who I am, my strengths, my weaknesses. Yeah. Just so there was no question.
Right, but you know the challenge. You know the challenge, Susan. You thought he would do the same.
Yes,
and he hasn't.
And he has not.
Yeah,
he has sworn up and down he's going to change. He's going to do better. He's gone to the pastor, and we've both gone to the pastor, but there's been nothing.
So you want us to what is your question so we can get right to what you want to hear?
I'm empty. I'm empty. I have no emotion towards him other than, honestly, at this point, disgust. And that's a horrible place to be in.
Okay, now say that in the form of a question, Susan. That was a statement. It was a good statement, but we want to help. So state that in the form of a question.
As a Christian, biblically, will I be sinning to walk away to protect my life, to protect my sanity, to protect my Christianity, because I'm empty.
Yeah.
He's taken it all out.
Sure. We hear that, and we feel that for you, and I'm so sorry that that's what has happened here. But, you know, I don't think there would be biblical grounds for divorce, but that to me is less important than the fact that what he has done has not been enough. Mm. I mean, he has a habitual lying pattern, and talking to pastors doesn't do it. So I think you have to find another resource. We'll help you. And you need to say, okay, so the lying was there. You tried some things. Didn't work. Now it's time for you to get this taken care of by trying a different resource, getting actual treatment for it. And so he needs to be in some very, very serious therapy that can deal with why he even started all this lying and deception that he brought right into the marriage, even though it was such a strong value of yours not to have it. John, your thoughts here.
Yeah, Susan, the Bible is kind of rarely speaks of what you would call a binary approach to problems. Stay, and if you disappoint you, divorce. It just doesn't talk like that. There's always a process. You know, you hear, like in Matthew 18, you bring one person, and then you bring two or three. And a lot of times when people are in great pain, I mean, you're empty. And empty is great pain. By the way, when Sherry called, you're laughing, and then you really got to the pain. This is the real Susan now. I was glad she pointed that out.
Yeah.
But there, God has steps, like in an oven, not like a binary black and white on-off switch thing. And before you go, you went kind of to the nuclear option. What I understand, people would do that in pain. But there are other steps, for example, like Steve said, getting the counseling, getting the confrontation, getting the community, getting the boundaries. You read one of my boundaries books, Manners in Marriage. And then there's a case for a thing called structured separation, which if he will not repent, change, or anything, then you say, I can't be with you. It's too toxic.
Yeah.
All of those things are pre-divorce. So let's get the plan, which has five or six good steps with a good person, a great counselor, a great coach, and go through it more in a progressive way.
And I just want to say one thing to add on to that, and I'm not here to tell you what to do, right? But, you know, I think a lot of times we land on that verse that God hates divorce. But writing a book on deception and the damage that's caused by lies and even sexual infidelity, right, that's often kept secret. I love this verse in Proverbs 6:16 through 19. And it might you might find some comfort in just knowing that God is on your team. And it says this, there are six things the Lord hates. Mm. No, seven that are detestable to him. You want to hear him? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Now, I often have people say, how many of those did you check off? God is on your team. He's not okay with what's going on. He's not okay with lying. He hates it, just like he hates divorce. So do what John suggested. Get into, and Steve, get into a plan. Get with a therapist that can help you, like a Navy SEAL, begin to shoot bullet holes in what you're living with, the lies, and sort through what needs to happen if he's going to stay in the, under the same roof with you. If not, like legal separation is a possibility.
Right. And, you know, I know God hates divorce, but there's some things he doesn't like. He doesn't want to be used as an excuse not to do scary things.
Huh.
And this is going to be scary for you to make some demands and set some guidelines and some consequences. But God is there for you to do that. And
his people are too.
That's right. and we can help you find the resource that you need. A lot of times we're afraid, and we need somebody to come right alongside us and help us, and they help us just by listening to us say, "I'm really afraid." We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn, here with Dr. John Townsend. He has an amazing institute where people are getting degrees and they're helping folks. And if you've read any of John's material, you know it's different than other people. He sees the world in a different way. There is a structure, there's a frame, there's a foundation.
We like to go to the why. Why is your organization not working? Why is your marriage not working? Instead of Bob Newhart's YouTube video, just stop it.
Yeah.
We go, before you just stop it, go to the why. And so that's how we train our students.
Right. You know, in October is our river cruise, and we're going on the Rhine River, starting in Amsterdam, and we end up in Basel, Switzerland. And it's an opportunity of a lifetime. For a while there, they were saying you have to be vaccinated to do it, and that caused some people to say, I don't want to do it because I don't want to be vaccinated. Well, you don't have to be. So check it out on our website. We would love to have you there. Our New Life trips, I think they're really, really special. I literally, John, was reading in an old journal of mine, 2001, about a trip we took, Paul Meyer, you, John, Henry, and it was so fun to read the things that I had written about that trip. It was really a great, great
You know, one of the fun things is, I've got such good memories, is the New Life folks that showed up, that listened to the radio, and just chatting with them, because what we said was we're not going to go like speak and then go in our cabins. It was like, let's hang out.
Oh, no, we hang out the whole time.
The hanging out is so much fun. They're wonderful
Mylan and
people.
Kay are going on this one.
Oh.
It's do you need someone to carry luggage, Steve, like John and I? We can just, you know, we'll load the luggage on the boat and off the boat.
Well, if COVID continues, you may need someone to drive the ship. So, if the captain gets sick. Anyway, we'd love you to come check it out.
There's all kinds of luggage and baggage people have, Steve.
That is true. We want to help people with that. I want to talk to Hannah. Hannah is calling us all the way from Allen, Texas, listens on our podcast. Hi, Hannah. How are you? And how can we help you today?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
So I'm a single solo mom. My son sees his dad in supervised visits, and that's it. So I have my son 99% of the time.
Why do those visits have to be supervised? I'm just curious.
Hmm. He struggles with addiction, so I don't see my circumstance changing anytime soon.
Uh-huh.
But
okay.
I am interested in dating. I'm also wanting to find, you know, a man, you know, a fatherly figure. But I want to go about dating as to not cause more damage to my son. He's already going to be growing up, you know. I can tell he's 4.5, and I can see he's looking to men. So with me having him all the time, dating is difficult to find the time to do so. So I'm just looking for a little bit of, should I date now? Should I wait? What precautions should I take?
Okay.
Type of addiction can you let us know did he struggle with? And you guys are divorced now, right?
We are divorced. He's used several different things: opiates, Xanax, alcohol, kratom. He's used lots of different drugs, so it's not just one thing.
Well, let me say right off the bat here, and then I want to hear, John, your perspective on this. There are other ways for your 4-year-old to have male influence than you finding someone to marry. When I was the single dad, I found 6 different women over a period of a couple of years that would put into Madeline's life. And then at the 16th birthday, they were all there. I wasn't there, but the 6 women in Madeline who had really helped shape her, and she's just one of the greatest people ever. So you want your church to come alongside you. You want some married couple to come in and help with all of this. The other thing is, when you do that, you see, whoever you do eventually date, they're going to respect you for that. The other thing you have to ask, where are you on the desperation scale? Are you desperate in any way, emotionally, financially? And if you are, you need to take care of that. The third thing, and I'll send you the book, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. But the third thing is, you do not want to bring guys into your life that you date because he needs a male influence. Because every guy you bring in, he's going to think, this is the answer. This is my new dad. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be very painful when that doesn't pan out for him. Those are my thoughts, because we just finished this book, and I'll send it to you, Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent. John, your thoughts on this?
Hannah, sometimes when we're all doing this show and Sherry or Steve says X, Y, or Z, my question is, yeah, that's the right answer. What do you I think that's the right answer, okay? It's a great book. So what do you think about Steve's advice? Do you kind of go, yeah, that feels hard or not doable, or does it feel, oh yeah, it's my game plan? Just, I'd like to know your feedback on that, because I thought it was a wonderful answer.
Yes. So I am in a single moms group at my church, and I'm looking for more places to put my son to get that male influence.
So keep your motivation separate. Keep your motivation separate. You want to date, and my policy is not, you don't date until 1 year after the ink is dry. And if you're in that space, then you say, I get Jimmy, these great guys, and they're good with kids, and they're safe and all that. And that's the number one thing, and you keep the dating as a separate world. Don't introduce them to them, or, you know, don't let them make an attachment, and it works. Steve was right.
But, Hannah, can I be a mama bear for you? Would you let me be your mama? Because I got some thoughts here that I want. I've been where you are. Hmm. And I got some things that I want to help you protect yourself.
Okay. We'll do that after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the 1 year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We've been talking with Hannah, and Sherry, every now and then, impersonates a bear, a mama bear, and she wants to be that to Hannah. So, Sherry, take it away.
Yeah. Hey, sweet Hannah. So, you know, I was married to an addict, too. So, I guess from one girl to another, I do have some protection that I'm feeling for you. I looked up your name in the Bible. It means grace. Mm. And I love your voice. I felt like you probably model grace. You're probably very gracious. And sometimes when we are being ourselves and we're modeling grace, we can get connected with people that would take advantage of us, would use us. And we might give them too much grace, even in saying yes, when they've got some issues that need to be addressed. So I want to ask you to read everything you can on addiction. I want you to become a student of addiction. I want you to understand alcohol addiction, drug addiction, and sex addiction. All right? Because
you're getting a homework assignment here from Mama Bear.
Because I
have done a lot of this homework.
You what?
Homework.
What did you say?
I feel like I have
I feel like I have done a lot of this homework. Yeah.
Good, good. But have you studied addiction? So you know whether the guy sitting across from you who's being very nice and buying you a dinner is an addict or not. What do you know about that?
She's not putting you on the spot at all here.
Well, I mean, it shows up in lots of different ways. For me, I recognize it as a feeling. It's hard, and codependency. Like, I know I grew up in a home where I was taught that codependency is love.
Yeah,
so I understand.
I could tell
how
that.
I got up.
Yeah, I know. I could tell that, sweetheart. And you know,
hi,
my name is Sherry. I'm a codependent, and I married an addict. And I was actually attracted to addicts because there was something very exciting about them that I felt, but I didn't really know. So you know what I started doing? I stopped relying on my feeling, and I started relying on my feeling plus my intellect. And when I was on a date with a guy, I would, by day three, if I was interested with them, I would talk to them about my prior marriage. I would tell them that I was married to an addict. I would actually tell them I've studied a ton about addiction. And if you struggle with any type of drugs, alcohol, porn, if that's kind of something that you do, I'm not going to be the best person for you. I'm not going to be the best partner long term because I know too much and it won't be fun with me. Now, you know what that did? Mm-hmm. That I vetted out probably 90% of the problem because I had guys go, no, that's not something I struggle with because I brought it all. And you know what? They didn't call me back. I just missed a bullet. Mm-hmm. And then I had guys say, yeah, I do struggle with that. And they'd say, I struggle. I look at porn, you know, regularly. And I'm like, okay. I wasn't there to judge them or teach them or do anything. I just said, well, thank you for being honest. We finished our meal, and then they never called me again. And then I had guys that were honest that said, well, da-da-da-da-da, back in the day or whatever. But they said, that's not my thing. And they called me. And I thought, either they're going to be a sociopathic liar, and I'll have to figure that out, or they're honest. And then I just brought them into my world eventually, not around your son. You know, my kinsman redeemer, Kyle, do you know I didn't meet Coleman for a year after until we started dating, for a whole 12 months.
That's what it ought to be right there. Yeah,
so, because I didn't want to attach to him, and I didn't want him to attach to me, because Coleman's heart matters. But after a year of dating, after Kyle met everybody and, you know, we were in a process where I could trust him, I got to meet his son. And it's important to take it in steps, but you got to vet them, girl. You can't just give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, I feel like I'm doing that. I think that's something I struggle with is because I have my son all the time, how do I date without them meeting Lucas? It's difficult to find the time to date when I have Lucas
You have to have somebody that he can stay with someone comes and stays there and you meet
you're
the person
with
somewhere
somebody.
Else. But you have to be financially secure enough that you can have him taken care of because it would be horrible for him to see you drive off from the house with a guy that he might be thinking, whoa, I bet that's my new dad. I'm going to send you the book. I hope that what we've said is helpful. Take your time. More time than that. Whatever you think is that, more than that. All right. Speaking of that thing that has, over time, provided great value to New Life, here's Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, how are you today?
Steve, doing good. Thank you.
Hey, what do you have for us?
Well, I know tomorrow is the parenting workshop, but I want to talk about the next one, the Emotional Freedom Workshop. And here's what this is a lady that wrote this.
What'd she say?
She said, I learned how to find freedom from my current struggles that stem from past strongholds of guilt, feelings of inferiority, and enabling behaviors that have controlled my life. I learned about the negative reactive thoughts and emotions I needed to identify and challenge, the mindset and beliefs to now embrace, the behaviors I needed to change, and the steps I need to now take that now it will take to transform my life and truly find freedom. I like this for a couple of reasons. I mean, all the good stuff she says about it, but notice that she's not saying, I've arrived. This workshop, I'm done. It's over. She's saying, now I know what I got to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what's going to happen when you come.
Oh, I love that. And if you need help, we've been doing this for a long time, and we want to help, and we know the relief is there. And, you know, some people are just so hurt and angry. It's almost like you're possessed with it, almost like a demon possession. I'm not saying it's demon possession. I'm saying it's just so consuming of you. Let us help you. We want to help. What else do you have, Larry?
Well, I just want to seek support. And I don't want to twist arms, cause guilt, shame, all that kind of stuff. As tempting as it is. But I just want you to go to God and say a prayer. You know, God, I've got resources. You've given them to me. This is all yours. Where do you want me to put it? How should I give it? And who should I give it to? I hope New Life's on your list and up at the very top, but this is a very personal thing, and so I just want to ask you to go to God and figure this out.
Well, we are in August, Larry, and we like to say that everything is just peachy, but it is a tough August for a lot of different reasons, and we have a lot of people that we want to help and reach, and we can't do it.
One of the reasons is it started such a good year, and it just kind of has slowly kind of fallen back, and we need to catch up a little bit. Yeah. We do need some support. But
you know, guys, I've never talked to a person. I've talked to a lot of New Life, you know, family. I've never heard one say, "Well, I really regret this.
Yeah,
money not well spent." Because the transformation and the fact that God's in the middle of it is just huge.
Yeah, we were on a show last week together where the mom had been watching, listening to New Life forever, and then she would teach her daughter, like that she'd take the books as she was young, and then now she's a mom with two teenagers, and she's like a school counselor. I mean, that is a story of influence. Mm-hmm. That just what she's gotten on the radio, just the book she's read, and we are changing lives, and so investing in that, being able to financially pray and ask the Lord, how much would you like me to give New Life? And it doesn't matter whether it's $10 or $10,000. Truly, every bit helps, and it's just giving that influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So help us if you can. We would sure be grateful. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call, or you could go to the website newlife.com. But please call. We've got some people that really want to help you, and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks, Larry.
Last word is thank you, everybody who is giving. Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much.
Thanks for what you do, Larry.
How about we go to Kathy, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Sirius XM. Hello, Kathy. How are you today?
Let's start with my question. I'm not sure about this question. I'm not sure I have the right question, but
okay.
I've asked my husband to leave, to move out, and he says he will, but then he never does. We've been married for 45 years, and it's been abusive the whole time, actually, just off and on. I guess it goes in cycles, maybe.
What kind of abuse? What kind of abuse?
Verbal and at times physical.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
And I question myself, why in the world did I stay so long? I don't know. I we kept going from one mountaintop to the next. We're both heavily, Christians, heavily involved in church. He actually speaks. He brings the message to different places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I stayed so long. But yeah,
we can help you figure. I mean, you can figure that out later. What we want to help you with is, what do you do in this situation? And we'll do that right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. John Townsend. Glad you're with us today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. John Townsend is with us. Dr. Sherry Keffer also. And Kathy, Kathy's got a problem. Kathy, continue and ask that question that you want us to...
You were mentioning something happened in 2020. I just want to make sure we heard that piece of your story.
Okay, February 2021, I discovered that he had been using porn for the last few years. And, it started out with things on TV, and then when he got Facebook, it started on Facebook. And so, and he's never given any kind of full disclosure to me about what all he has done, what has happened. He's answered a few of my questions, but not, he won't talk to me about it. He's never told anyone else about this. And as with the abuse, we've always just kept it between us. It's never been discussed with anybody else.
But there's certain
things that I've asked him to do.
All right, so what is the question for us? Because I want to be sure we can get to that.
Okay. Well, there's certain things I've asked him to do, such as, give me a full disclosure, join a 12-step program, seek counseling, and get off of Facebook, close that account out, let me see his phone. He will not let me see his phone. But I don't believe he's doing any porn anymore. I don't believe he's doing any of that, because I do periodically sneak around and check it. The other thing I found out about him, another secret, is that the whole 45 years we've been married, he's masturbated, and I never knew that. These things that I have asked him to do, he's not doing. He's ignored, and it's been 18 months, and he's still ignoring it.
I have a chapter in my book, Kathy. It's called No is a Complete Sentence. It has to do with boundaries, and I talk about how to set boundaries, but I also talk about the ask. I'm hearing you say that over and over again. And there's three different ways that we ask. Some of us ask more like an IV drip. Like we ask and there's hardly anything coming out of our mouth. Some of us ask and we're more like a leaky faucet. We ask and ask and ask and ask and ask, but there's no follow through. There's no boundaries. And then some of us ask like a fire hose. You know, it's like, you know, and blow the person out of the water. But if he's not responding to your ask, my first question is how confident are you in your follow through plan? You've given him some smart things to do, but he doesn't respect you, he doesn't believe you, and he's not moving. And so if he...
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So if he doesn't respect you, he's not moving, he's not doing what you're asking, what's your next step? Is that what you're wondering from us? What do I do with somebody who's speaking all over, he's physically abusive, emotionally abusive, and he looks at porn and masturbates?
Yes. Now, the porn and masturbation is no longer going on. He has taken care of that, and he tells me he's taking care of everything between him and the Lord, but between he and I,
there's not
been any kind of amends made.
You just went somewhere with me. You know where you went?
No.
Hold on to me, Kathy girl. Do you know where you went? You went into denial. He's in denial and deception. He just spiritualized years of pain.
Yeah.
And if you, I was there. I was with you, Kathy. I was there a long time where I believed that Connor was following through until I found more stuff. He needs a higher level of care. If you want to be in this relationship, for him to say, I've taken care of it with God, that's spiritualization. And it's actually a form of denial. That lets him not only be in denial, but in deception. It's not helping you two. Like, I want to see hard facts. Like, he's meeting with somebody who specializes in porn. Please don't minimize or think he's not doing it just because you're looking. Once they know we're looking, you know what they do? They go deeper underground.
Well, but here's the bottom line. He is not growing. He's not repairing himself, nor the marriage. And so you need to decide what, it's not even about requesting, it's what do you demand him to do for you to stay put. Now, sometimes a man has to believe he's dealing with someone different, which means maybe if you got an attorney and he saw that you were serious, he might have a different response. because I want him to change. And if I were you, I wouldn't say, I want you to go to every man's battle. I'd say, you go to every man's battle. You go online, you find out how to get there, all that, if you want this to stay in place. That's what I would do if I were you. John,
well,
you have a thought here?
I have kind of put those ultimatums out there.
Yeah, but you haven't followed through.
So let's talk to our boundary master.
That's the leaky thing that Sherry said, where you are clear about it and you've put it up, but you can't be, if you're playing poker, you can't be bluffing here, right? Because if they call your bluff and you go, well, I'll miss you too much, you're training him that he pretty much can do all the acting out he needs to do. So you got to get your support team around and say that I will follow through with this if he does not do X. Then you say, you got to go to every man's battle. And he says, yeah, I'm kind of busy and God already fixed me. Then you say, or X will happen. Now, if you've got a long-term porn, a long-term abuse thing, I mean, the logical thing to say is I'm leaving and I'm going to ask you to leave. And there's going to be a period of time where we won't have contact because you're just killing me, you're destroying me. I'm not divorcing you, but I am leaving and you won't have me. Now, that's a serious consequence. And you, from what it sounds of your history, it would be impossible for you to do that right now. You're moving towards it. But you've got to get that support around, get the right wisdom about it. That's what we mean by the boundary is one thing where you say, here's my limit. But the consequence is everything. Because he is waiting for you to show your cards and just say, ah, that's okay. I'll pray about it more. And that will not help anybody. Hope we're making sense.
It's
all right,
so
I'm going to send you two books. One is Sherry's book, Intimate Deception. And I want to send you Worthy of Her Trust for you to give to him. And I want you to stay on. I want to see if we can get him into the September Every Man's Battle. I really feel like this could change everything, you calling us. If you'll just follow this path, it's not easy, but it's sure better than that other path. Every Man's Battle is September 9th in Dallas. Emotional Freedom, August 20th. We've got a new conference September 24th on the repurposed life. And how do we pull things together, not to just get through something or over something, but beyond it, where whatever's happened becomes part of a brand new mission. We're involved with the Museum of the Bible. We've got a great event happening there called Lumina, November 3rd and 4th. We would love for you to come and join us. Bring your church there. Nicole C. Mullen, Lauren Green McAvey, Jen Wilkin, amazing author and Bible teacher, all of them. And the early bird pricing ends on September the 16th. We sure would love you there. And then come join us on this Rhine River cruise, October 6th through the 13th. You can find out about that at newlife.com. But what I really want to say is that we are here for you. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, isn't that how those of us who don't learn from others' mistakes and choose to be the others, isn't that really what we did? We leaned on our own understanding. We don't have to do that. And when you're ready to stop leaning, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.